Hello, I'm Robert Bound, and you are listening to The Monocle Culture Show. On the programme today, we're spinning the brand new LP by Janelle Monáe called Dirty Computer. Monáe is a character who's fascinated listeners and journalists alike since the early noughties. Since being snapped up by Sean Combs' label Bad Boy Records in 2007, she's sauntered around the peripheries of big global success, but has never quite been launched into the stratosphere like some of her contemporaries. But could Dirty Computer be the album that does it? Join me on the programme today, to give it a whirl, are the writer Candice Carty-Williams and the broadcaster Georgie Rogers. Janelle Monáe is originally from Kansas, but now spends a lot of time in Atlanta, where she has her own Wonderland Art Society, a studio, rehearsal space, and general creative hub based on Prince's Paisley Park. More recently, she's also sidestepped into acting with carefully chosen roles in Moonlight and Hidden Figures, and an upcoming role in an anthology series based on the work of Philip K. Dick. And it's not only on screen that Monáe acts. Up until now, she's released two studio albums where she's hidden behind an alter ego named Cindy Mayweather. Monáe said in an article in the New York Times that she found it safer to pack herself in metaphors and is still working out who she wants to be when she's in the spotlight. Well, 5 years on from that last record, perhaps we're going to find out. For her third album, Dirty Computer, she's finally shed Cindy Mayweather and presents a celebration of women and sexuality, and her sexuality is something that's intrigued the press throughout her career. Over the last few weeks, you'll have heard Monáe release a steady flow of tracks into the big wide world, accompanied by slick and colourful videos that have as much of a message as her songs do. And on Friday, she finally put the whole damn thing out. And the hype around this release has been huge, but is it actually any good? Well, that's what we're here to get to the bottom of today. So without further ado, Candice and Georgie, welcome to the programme.
Hi.
A lengthy intro for a much vaunted, I guess there's a lot of expectation around this release. Candice, I know you're a fan. We can say that. I mean, I know we're here as critics.
Absolutely.
But you can say that.
Yeah.
We can let the cat out of the bag. Do you get kind of nervous when someone that you really dig releases something about which there is much expectation?
I think definitely, but also because I think this time around there's so much black politicism that she has been witnessing, and you can tell that she's been harnessing it, and there has been a lot of cultural commentary and critique coming from her. So I think this time it was kind of obvious that this was going to be in her music, and so it was about, I guess, anticipating how it would inform her sound. And I think she's just done it. I think she's hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed this record. It seems immediate. It's full of melody. It's full of ideas, that like her previous work was. But this time it's full of melody. It's full of hooks. Mm. It's just full of really good songs. Georgie, is this something you're going to be spinning on your own radio show?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was dancing around my kitchen to it last night. I was just like, yeah, every track, it just weaves seamlessly. It's like, I guess maybe because there's the film, which we're going to talk about, it does just have that. It's like a seamless, perfect album that just you go along with. And every track I was like, oh, this is good. And then the next one I was like, oh, this is really good. And the next one's really, yeah, you know. And also what you were saying about the black politicism things, I think she kind of nailed it with that Grammy speech that she did where she was talking about the Time's Up. It was kind of her bit to that. And if you go and read the full speech, like, it's sort of that whole thing just permeates this whole record of her kind of saying, you know, we come in peace, but we're also daughters, wives, mothers, sisters and human beings. To those who would dare try silence us, we offer you two words, time's up. And then she's like, we come in peace, but we mean business. It's not just going on in Hollywood or Washington, it's right here in our industry as well. So, like, talking about equality for women.
And so she's talking about there's Black Lives Matter,
Black Lives
and
Matter.
There's Time's Up as yeah. well, and all of those.
Strong
all of those
message,
things.
I think, in this album, even though it's just such a great listen, like full of colour.
You can have it wash over you, like a very colourful, kind of hyper-colour pop album, which is what it is. And then I suppose there is that deeper reading of stuff as well. Candice, can you kind of separate the two, the issues that she's interested in? I know that some of the songs are explicitly and specifically about race and about sexuality and about all these things. as many great pop albums have been, obviously, over the years. Can you separate the two? Is it very important to your critical process to review this record, and to you personally, that these themes are kind of front and centre in her songwriting?
So I can only engage in it through that lens, because that is what I think my upbringing is about. Everything that I stand for, everything that I believe in, everything that I live. And so when I listen to this, I can't just be like, oh, this is really... I mean, it's great. It's a fantastic album. I think it's her best, as we've said. But I still think there is no way of me separating the two things, separating the political from the art. It's impossible.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, she's kind of come along at a good time, or maybe things have crystallised around her and maybe artists like her. The sort of erudition of her lyrics and the kind of way that she presents herself. I mean, she looks amazing, but she's very... And she's beautiful. That doesn't matter. She's a kind of like powerhouse, right? What does she stand for you, Candice? She kind of wears a tuxedo. And apparently this is in honour of people that have to get up and go to work every day, who aren't kind of like movie stars and songwriters and stuff. Talk us through what you like about her presentation, maybe.
I think she's always been incredibly beautiful. I think she's the tiny little sexy thing.
Sort of elfin kind of, and
absolutely.
A bit of an alien, isn't she?
Absolutely.
There's a bit of Bowie in her
and
somehow.
I think she cultivates it so well through her clothes. But I think her wearing a suit, I think it's a very beautiful thing. And I think because black women have often been so sexualized, I think her saying, well, this is my body, but I'm going to cover up completely head to toe, collar, everything, jacket, like shoes,
right.
Like all of it. I think that's such an incredible thing to be like, okay, so this is not about my body. And yes, it is incredible and I have a beautiful face and you might see snatches of it soon, but my music and my artistry is not about that. And I think just that with the base of the black woman being sexualized, her body being sexualized, and it's a fantastic thing. I think it's an amazing thing. I think do what you want with your body, but I think that is a statement, isn't it? Gemini still jamming, box office numbers and they doing outstanding, running out of space in my damn bandwagon. Remember when they used to say I look too mad? Black girl magic, y'all can't stand it, y'all can't ban it, made out like a bandit. They've been trying hard just to make us all vanish. I suggest they put a flag on a whole nother planet. Let's talk about the music. Hey, what about that? So what have we got in here? There is funk, there's soul, there's kind of pure pop, there's all sorts of stuff going on in here. Georgie, talk us through some of the things maybe that it reminded you of, or that you can kind of feel what ingredients she's stirring into that pot.
Yeah, definitely the funk, the jazz, the rock, pop, gospel.
All in the same song often, but actually in a good way.
I think the key things that it reminded me of are obviously Prince, which I'm going to talk about, Beyonce, her Lemonade project, and tracks like Drunk in Love, which was from, I think, the previous album, and Kendrick Lamar on the track Django Jane. She worked on this album with Prince, so that was the thing. They met, they were friends. She said the last time that she'd seen him was New Year's Day, and they'd performed a party in St. Bart's, and they sat and just talked for 5 hours, and he was one of those people in her life, like Stevie Wonder, that she could talk about things, and he'd helped her out with this album. And
amazing, this sort of thing. Yeah, right? It's like, oh, I'm thinking of making an album. Oh, yeah. You're having just anyone help you?
Yeah.
Yeah, who have you got then? Oh, Prince. Prince and Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think she sort of said that his spirit will always be with her, and I sort of feels like she's managed to bottle a bit of that spirit and put it all over this album with guitar licks and synths and even her dancing around and the kind of just the feeling that the music conjures when you listen to it. It does have Prince all over it.
They're kind of physically quite similar, aren't
they?
They're kind of these little powerhouses, short and sweet and amazing, kind of like natty dresses and kind of just a complete look, you know. Kind of person you don't know whether you can look them in the eyes because are they real?
Yes.
One of those kind of things.
Like your son. Yeah.
What are you hearing in Dirty Computer, Candice?
I think it's really important to say that she got a Beach Boy on the track.
To start
the album.
So Brian Wilson guests on the opening track.
Yeah.
What a wonderfully mixed bag of collaborators.
I think it's so easy to put urban artists, I say urban in very loosely, in a category, but she just what, that doesn't matter. Like, all of that is just kind of like, I'm going to get who I want. I'm going to get Zoe Kravitz. Zoe Kravitz is an actor who knew that she could do like a little rap. That's fine. But I think it's a really, as you said, it like it flows so amazingly. And I think when we think about or talk about the emotion picture that will accompany it, the concept of it is incredible. And you can see how she's thought about that as well as her work, her musical work. But I think the album is just, it's very fun. And I think it does embody the idea and the ideal of carefree black girl, because this is something that she has always, and many black women have always, I think, fought to have for themselves and to sort of put that message out to people. But I think she's done it, and she said, but there's no prescriptive way of doing that, but I'm just going to do it in this really fun way, and I want you to join me. And I think that is in terms of political opinion and sexual liberation. I think that's a really great thing. So I love it musically, but for the political sway of it, I think it's incredible. It's done an amazing thing.
But it's also got such a playful side to it.
Yeah.
So the she released a couple of days before the record came out the website where she told you what the sort of inspiration for each of the tracks were, and they're kind of like completely harebrained. There's the Bible and there's sort of Arabian Nights, and then there's sort of like all sorts of, you know, Native American kind of myths and legends. All this kind of gear goes on in there. And it's really good because as much as she's political and obviously as bright as a button, she's sort of very playful and kind of a bit naive. It's a bit like, here's my art project, the world. And it's all kind of like, you can see all her notes in the margin and stuff, right? There's something kind of very beguiling about that, I think, and kind of, and sort of rather unegotistical, I kind of feel like, right? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's like all there. I think it's showing the workings out, isn't it? I think it's also, it kind of shows that it's, I guess it makes me think it's, is someone saying like, this is a collaborative thing, and I'm thinking about you and I'm thinking about us, I'm thinking about everything. It's not just, I'm not just a machine. Even though her thing is to be like, I'm an android, I am like a computer, I still think she's like, but I am also a human and I'm navigating everything the way that you are, and everything isn't easy and I have to just take notes like everyone else would.
And let's talk about that then. So Cindy, I think we mentioned her in her alter ego, her kind of thin white Duke or her Ziggy Stardust kind of thing, I suppose. Or kind of the symbol, or the purple one, or whatever it might be for her. This alter ego called Cindy Mayweather. Who kind of, I guess, any kind of persona allows the artist to kind of hide behind it and experiment with different forms of expression, different types of music, all the rest of it. Why do you think she's thrown off the yoke of the alter ego, Georgie?
Because I think it's time for her to take the world stage. I think, you know, she's always been one of those artists who's been much loved. She's always, it's not like she's kind of ever sold out or been in the mainstream. She's kept her credibility right from the start. And this album, I think, is going to be the vehicle that will help her be Janelle Monáe on
a
level that Beyoncé
right?
is Beyoncé. And yeah, I think the confidence is just shown all through the music. You know, in every guise, you know, when she raps, when she sings, her vocals are flawless throughout. There are kind of personal messages in there, I think. And then there's the, you know, the collaborations. Yeah, I love the fact that she worked with Grimes, because Grimes is just this like maverick, you know. She produces and writes and does all her videos and dresses herself, and is just like, it's always so cool. And that she, like on the last album, Archangels, it was kind of like verging on really like saccharine sweet all the time, but it's so hooky. I love that album, even though it is all out pop, and there's kind of elements of that in,
there's a lot of that.
Myth.
There's quite a bit of, there's Madonna really in here. There's some real kind of like mid '80s Madonna moments on
some
that first
Mariah
track.
Moments
on that
as
first
well.
Track, I heard a bit of Karen Carpenter.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some real sweet kind of singing on there. Some real kind of like easy listening kind of AOR kind of stuff on there as well. Actually, what marks this out then? Before we head off into the territory of Prince and the film and everything, let's kind of try and nail the success of it as an LP. As I said, I kind of felt like Arch Android was very clever, but kind of I couldn't quite get into it. You know, I could see sort of a little bit like the kitchen sink being thrown into it. This one's full of beans, but it's full of ideas, but it's also full of beans. What are the key differences between her earlier work and this one? Because this seems like a sea change, or it seems like the stepladder to the stars, this one, Candice.
I think she's developed her craft. I think that's it. I think this is her third album, so it's going to be fantastic. But also, I think that, as I've said before, and I will always say, I think her political standing has played into this so much in a way that it hasn't in the first two. And I think I'm seeing this, we're all seeing this with a lot of artists. And I think they do have that space now to be free. And I think just like black women also have that space to be free and to discuss these things and to talk about pain and to talk about their suffering. When those restrictions are taken away, you can do amazing things.
I think we've kind of ticked some things off the list of why Dirty Computer works for us. Georgie, I know you wanted to flag up the elephant in the room, the purple elephant in the room that is Prince on this LP. What are the themes, the eras, the kind of leitmotifs of Prince that you hear in this record, that you hear in her presentation, her look, her vibe?
There's definitely a lot of Kiss, the track Kiss.
Yeah. It's just the way you make me feel. You know I love it, so please don't stop it. You got me right here in your jean pocket. Right now. Laying your body on the shag carpet. Ooh. You know I love it, so please don't stop it. The guitars on Make Me Feel are that.
Yeah. That's just so.
Let's point out to our listeners that you were, in fact, doing a guitar, not just the noise. It's impossible to do the noise and not do the movements.
For my terrible. I should have used words to.
I think Candice and I are on your side with this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But definitely, yeah, the sounds of the 80s music and the Prince and the Revolution 8th album Parade, which actually formed the soundtrack for a film Under the Cherry Moon.
That's right.
In 1986, which was Christian Scott Thomas's film debut. And it was a critical and commercial failure. I think it won 5 Golden Raspberries. Looking at it now, I mean, the footage is quite something. It's Prince in a bath wearing a big hat. And and then they fall in love and it's all very sensual and whatever. This kind of
whoever would have thought Prince would have run out of ideas. Maybe on that he's having a bit of a rainy Tuesday that one.
Exactly. But yeah, there's undeniable Prince influences in the kind of funk of it, the synth lines. I loved it. Just that sense of fun, I think, that is on so much of Prince's music. I Wanna Be Your Lover, Kiss, all of the kind of the big Let's Go Crazy, all the big ones.
There's quite a lot of virtuosity on it, like Prince is kind of not being afraid to kind of have a proper wig out. Such a talented musician, like player himself. And I feel there's quite a lot of that on here, a little bit of that kind of control, but you know, showing off, you know, because I'm good at this, I'm going to do this, hell, you know. I kind of like that about it too.
She doesn't necessarily like let rip on any guitar solo parts, but there's kind of what we would be guitar solos like running throughout, like underneath, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of flashes of guitar. And what I love about this album as well is like, and what you said about earlier stuff, maybe, because I was listening to Cold War from Archandroid, and that, yeah, like it's a great song, but it's got a sort of political thing about war. It is like the kitchen sink kind of thing, for it. It's so much going on. Whereas this album, I think, just keeps like little bits and frills just reveal themselves as you go through, and it sort of surprises you. And then, as you said earlier, the melody is just, I could sing 5 songs already off the, I could sing them back to you, the melody and the hooks.
Candice, I think she's,
I'm not
she's done the
do
guitar.
It.
Yeah,
you're going to be okay.
I'm ready. No, I'm ready.
Okay. And on the next program, Georgie Rogers performs Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer in full.
That is not what anyone would want to
It'd
hear.
Be like, you know, like sort of any band going and playing with their kind of one of their famous albums live, just from cover from beginning to end.
Well, I could recreate the mouth clicks on Make Me Feel. It's just, isn't it just someone going?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, exactly.
Let's not go there.
But she hasn't kind of gone, I mean, everyone, you can hear the Prince influences in her work, and we've seen them out and about on the town, or we've kind of seen whatever. Not really on the town. I think Prince kind of was long past that, wasn't he? He became a Jehovah's Witness. I don't think he was really out on the town, but they were pictured as buddies hanging out, I suppose. Mm. So we kind of know about that. But she hasn't kind of played up to that much. She hasn't dedicated this to Prince. She hasn't kind of cashed in on that, it seems. It seems like this was a serious mentorship and a serious friendship and a dear friendship.
Yeah.
It just so happens that the guy was Prince, kind of thing. It feels like that, right? It doesn't feel like she's ringing it out. That one.
No.
I think it was an authentic relationship. Definitely.
Yeah. Candice, Afrofuturism, Black Panther. There are very interesting themes. Tell our listeners, for people that might be scratching their heads, what the themes are that you've seen in this record.
So Afrofuturism is a reimagining of a future filled with art, science and technology seen through a black lens. The way it differs from, I guess, normal science fiction is that it's steeped in African tradition. And so to talk about Black Panther to start already, when the trailer came out, lots of people were saying, wow, this, when we saw this amazing sprawling scene of Wakanda, everyone was like, wow, is this what it could have been like in Africa if people hadn't been taken from their country? And so it's kind of that, it's an imagining of a society in a world where actually Africans, nebulous Africans, you know what I mean, were allowed to live as they were and build communities. And we know that African scientists, they created so much of the stuff that we use. And so I think, you know, I think it's that idea that if left untroubled, there could be this whole society, and that is just,
it's a very potent idea, isn't it? And it's kind of a strange, because it's not a counterfactual as such. It's a very interesting idea. And also something that was, I guess, explored in my mind. I feel like this is kind of jazz artists like Pharoah Sanders and Sun Ra and this kind of thing, which I love that stuff. You know, I mean, that's great. Also, because the album cover looks so good as an LP, right? That's the ones you want. But there was sort of serious politics, or there was the exploration of some very deep themes in their work. And I guess that's what you're saying about this, about belonging, about a sense of the old country, maybe. Is it that idea?
But she is, I guess, like she always has been, like an Afrofuturist. Look at all of her album titles. I can look at the way she's presented herself. Like, she is like, I'm a computer. And so I think it all feeds into it. And I think it is this, it's steeped through all of her work, this idea that technology, art, science, blackness, it all feeds into one thing. And it is looking towards the future and thinking about what was in the past. I think this runs through the entire album. I think just also in terms of what's the track, it's I Got the Juice. Yeah. It's like, I'm literally a battery.
Yeah, right. Okay,
it's like,
yeah.
it's still one of her undercurrents of her work, and like, I guess overcurrent. It's like such an important part of her work. And so like, also just in terms of visuals, in terms of the way that she presents herself, in terms of also just genderlessness. I think it's all just this idea of just moving away from what we know and moving into something that is like an Afro future that is like steeped in tradition.
It's really, yeah, because I'm thinking of the cover of Arch Android. Mm. I'm calling it Arch Android. You call it Arc Android.
I call it Arc Android also.
Okay, I'm outnumbered. Arc Android, then. where she's wearing the hat that is like the robot from Metropolis. It's that famous still. It's that famous robot. But it's also, she's also kind of like an African queen with the headdress. Mm. And there's also something about, she looks like Nefertiti, the bust of Nefertiti, you know. So she's almost like an Egyptian sort of warrior princess or whatever. So there's all sorts of kind of deep stuff, kind of going back to the roots of Africa and ancient civilizations, ancient Egypt and all the rest of it. It's kind of just in that one image. I mean, she's not doing these things by accident, is she?
No, of course not. And I think the perception of Africa has been for a long time that it's this like war-torn, starved, third world country, but there is so much richness to it now still. In like, there are huge urban societies, but we don't really see those. So I think it is a presentation of an Africa that people don't think about, and of an African woman that people don't think about, because so often we're shown images of African women with crying babies who are starving and like with flies on them, but actually that really isn't the reality of a lot of it. And there is a steep, like a huge, huge, incredibly wealthy history there that she's so aware of and is like, she's bringing to the future.
Black Panther kind of plays into that.
100%.
Let's talk, just before we go, as a kind of final theme on this, it's such a big, important film. Mm. What does that mean to you? How does that play into Janelle Monáe's work?
Well, I think there's not a huge amount of whiteness in her videos or in her, I guess, you know, there are some people who she works with who are white, and that's, you know, that's by the by. But Black Panther, for many people, and much like her work, which is so steeped in blackness, it was and still is an incredible moment, an incredible movement, because I have never in my life seen this. And I'm a huge Marvel fan, and I've basically seen every single offering that there is, but I'd never seen anything like this before. And I think I saw on Twitter, there was this amazing, there've been loads of videos of kids who were looking at the posters and being like, that could be me, because that just isn't something that we've ever seen and nothing that we've ever experienced. And so I think that feeling in itself, and the feeling that I get from listening to that album, is a really similar thing. But when I first went to see Black Panther the room, I went to see it in Peckham, and people just could not believe what they were seeing, because this is not something that, as it's like a, it's a black area, but it's not something that we've ever seen before. And I think that she's also exploring this in her work, and it is just, I am black and I am being, and I am not being what you have prescribed, and that's an incredible thing. But Black Panther, it meant so much and means so much to some people, to many people.
And to you, by the sound of it.
Definitely. I went to see it through. I went to see it many times, because the first time it was very loud because people were very excited. And the second time I went to the cinema, I went to the cinema in central London, which is a lot quieter.
Have you been to it on your own?
Twice. I've seen it on my own. Twice. I do have friends, but I've seen it the first time.
No, but you know what I mean? I'm fine with it. If I go and see a film that I want to see again, I loved Phantom Thread, for example. I had to go and see it on my own, kind of.
No, I did. I went to see Moonlight on my own like 4 times, just because, and I can never see it again because I still get upset when I think about it.
See, I wasn't accusing you of having fancy. 4 times no, on her own, she went to see it.
Something so liberating about going to cinema on your own.
Yeah. No, I do. I do it quite often. I do all the time. But with Black Panther, it was amazing. Oh, I've seen it with friends, I've seen it on my own, and I've read so many think pieces and discussions about it. And the main take home is that it's an incredibly important thing, because it just... And I think like the numbers like shows like the highest grossing film this year, like that's an incredible thing itself. But also, I just think as a cultural movement for people who just have never seen themselves, it's just unbelievable and so amazing that it happened. I'm still kind of pinching myself that it was allowed, because there were lots of like jokes in it that I'm surprised studio execs let pass.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm up for them.
It's all very empowering, isn't it, on the album? Like when she, you know, when she does kind of touch upon sort of celebrating the black girl magic, but also talking about the hardships of that, and then like attacking mansplaining and forcing the female message home of equality and pay, equal pay, and there's like little spoken word motifs on the record as well.
Yeah, I heard mansplaining kept on jumping out of the record at me, like it was aimed exactly at me. I kind of blushed during that bit.
I don't think guys are going to be like, oh, whoa, you know, at all. Like, they'll be like, oh, well, you know, on a bit of a feminist thing, or like, I think everyone can appreciate it.
The thing
it.
Is, I just don't think it's angry. I think it's just kind of like, please listen now.
Yeah.
Like, this is my, I'm explaining it to you, this is my record, and please listen to it, because there's loads of things you can enjoy on here, and you can also enjoy some learning about yourselves. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a sugar-covered pill in some aspects. A lot of it is just simply good times, right? Good vibes. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you both very much. Very good kind of dream. I think we've got a bit of a new dream team here. Candice Cartier-Williams, welcome to the programme. Georgie Rogers, lovely to have you back. Thank you very much indeed. And of course, thanks to my producer, Holly Fisher. Next week, we'll be getting musical once again, but this time in the West End, as we put a brand new performance of Chess to the test. But for the time being, let's play out with a slice from Dirty Computer. This is Screwed. From me, Robert Bounds, thank you very much for tuning in. I lost my mind on rock and